Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. We are about a month away, John, from Tennessee's lid lifter on the 2021 season, the debut of the Josh Heupel era. We'll begin against Bowling Green in what is not exactly a scintillating matchup, but we'll have to wait until week two against Pittsburgh, which is probably going to give us more of a litmus test on what the Vols might be capable of in year one under Josh Heupel. But as we sit here, John, about a month out from the season opener for Tennessee, how would you sort of assess the pulse around Tennessee football? I guess more externally I'm asking you rather than internally, the buzz surrounding Tennessee football. What sort of vibe are you getting right now?
As any time when you have a new coach, hopeful is the word that comes to mind, particularly when applied to Tennessee, which has suffered through hard times and a number of different coaches in recent years. Hopeful and wait and see. I really don't encounter many fans are saying, okay, we finally got the right guy. Here we go. Watch out, world. I don't see any of that or sense any of that. I just think hopeful. The fan base is very curious about the offense. Jeremy Pruitt, the previous coach, was a defensive guy. But I didn't sense that kind of expectation with the defense. Even though Pruitt had a very good resume going in, going out, not so good of a resume. But I think with offense, the fact that Heupel is an offense coordinator, quarterback's coach, and then a head coach at UCF is put a lot of points on the board, kind of distinguished himself with this niche offense of go as fast as you can, up, up, up tempo. So that's kind of intriguing to the fan base. I think the fan base is looking for a reason to be excited about Tennessee football, and it's kind of hung its big orange cap on offense.
Yeah, I don't get the sense of excitement that you would normally feel for a program that just hired a new coach. Normally, going into the start of a new tenure, fan bases are kind of on cloud nine. They think this is going to be the guy that jumpstarts the program. I don't get that overwhelming sense from Tennessee, but I would agree that I would describe it maybe as cautiously hopeful is sort of the feeling that I'm tapping into from Tennessee fans. And I think, too, Tennessee fans are being realistic about what to expect this season. I don't hear from a lot of fans saying, well, I think 9-3 might be possible. But there does seem to be an expectation that Tennessee might be able to contend for a bowl bid this year. And I think, as we've discussed on this podcast previously, given the schedule and the way it sets up, that could be in play for Tennessee this year. I want to get to some predictions, John, on this installment of the podcast. It is prediction season here, as we're about a month away from the opener. This is the time where predictions really continue to roll in, and we're gonna go through a few of our own here and a little fact or fiction. I'm going to propose you some questions, some scenarios, and you tell me whether you think that's a fact or fiction. The one thing continuing to linger over Tennessee's program, John, is this NCAA investigation into alleged recruiting violations by the previous coaching staff. And the NCAA is probably not going to get around to ruling on this until maybe 2022, maybe 2023. We see that they move at glacier-like speed when it comes to these NCAA investigations. But one move that Tennessee could do is to self-impose penalties. So, fact or fiction, Tennessee should self-impose a bowl ban for the 2021 season.
I would say fiction on that. I'm being consistent in this view, and I know you don't agree with it, but I think Tennessee, it would help the program, the status of the program, if Tennessee went to a bowl game this year. And I think that's possible. So I wouldn't impose a ban. Wait for the NCAA to impose a ban probably next season. I don't think Tennessee will go to a bowl game next season anyway. I think Tennessee has a better chance for a better season in 2021 than in 2022. Mainly because of the schedule. So I would say fiction. I would not want to impose a bowl ban.
Yeah, as you alluded to, I'm going to diverge from you there and say fact. I think Tennessee should self-impose a bowl ban here in hopes of avoiding further penalty from the NCAA when it finally gets around to ruling on this. And I think Tennessee could make a bowl game this year? Sure, but I think it's far from automatic, and I'm not sure how much a bid to the Liberty Bowl really changes the momentum of your program, or the Birmingham Bowl, or what have you. We're not talking about a potential Sugar Bowl bid this season for the Vols being in play. It's more likely going to be of the caliber of a Liberty Bowl or something from that tier, Music City Bowl, Birmingham Bowl. And I don't think that really has much impact on the momentum of your program one way or the other. So I say, fact, Tennessee should self-impose a bowl ban to try to avoid further penalty down the road. Moving on to quarterbacks, John, one of the other interesting storylines entering this season. Four scholarship quarterbacks will compete for the job throughout the preseason. It would have been five, but Caden Salter has been dismissed from the program. But you still have transfers Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton, along with returners Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer. All of them have multiple games of starting experience in their careers, either Bailey or Maurer's case at Tennessee. Milton and Hooker have starting experience from their past schools. So, fact or fiction, Tennessee will start at least three different quarterbacks this season.
That's a tough one. I'll go with fiction. I think it will start two, but if you look at the recent history, three quarterbacks is not far-fetched. You could even say four may start. I just think that Josh Heupel will be better with quarterbacks. I mean, if he isn't better with quarterbacks than Jeremy Pruitt, you might as well kick this era right out of the year, because it won't. It's just done already. But no, I think that's a strength of his. I think he'll identify the right quarterback, and I could see him using two. And hopefully for Tennessee, they will get rid of the ball quickly when they throw it, and there won't be an injury, and there won't be a third starter.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think the number will be two quarterbacks will start at least one game this season. I don't think it'll get quite to three. I think Tennessee should use a two-quarterback system the first few games of the season. I thought one of the many errors of the Jeremy Pruitt tenure was he committed too quickly to Jarrett Garantano in year one, and then stuck with him throughout the next couple seasons. He had Keller Chris that year as a graduate transfer. I think maybe Chris, in hindsight, could have got more of an opportunity. And I think in Josh Heupel's case in particular, he has a number of options here. And so I would advise using a two-quarterback system the first few weeks of the season. Try to figure out which guy is your top guy going into that Florida game. But I think the first few weeks, you could play two quarterbacks, maybe even start two different quarterbacks as you try to figure out who your top option is. You got to whittle down the list a little bit. You can't go into the season opener thinking all four guys are on equal footing, but I do think it's all right if you go into the season with a couple guys in mind and you whittle it down from there. We know that Josh Heupel has a good track record for developing quarterbacks. It's one of the top lines on his resume, but you go back and look at it, John, and part of the product of having good quarterbacks is you usually have a wide receiver who puts up some pretty big numbers. Every year throughout Heupel's tenure at UCF, he was there for 3 years, each year he had at least one receiver catch 50 passes. In the past two seasons, he had two receivers catch 50 passes. You go back to Josh Heupel's time as an offensive coordinator in Missouri, he had a receiver catch at least 50 passes in each of his seasons as offensive coordinator. When you look at Tennessee, last year, the leading receiver had 33 receptions. That was Josh Palmer. Now, it was a shortened season. They only played 10 games. But even going back, the 2019 season, Tennessee did have Juwan Jennings' top 50 receptions. But in 2018, 37 was the leading reception total. So 50 would be a pretty good number for a Tennessee receiver. And I think we both like Jalin Hyatt as the top receiver returning for Tennessee after showed some promise as a freshman. So fact or fiction, Jalin Hyatt will catch at least 50 passes this year.
I'll go with fact on that one, Blake. I think Jalin Hyatt has so much potential, and we saw a little of that last year. File that under Jeremy Pruitt's mistake list. File that one under there too. He should have gotten more opportunities. He just looks really smooth out there when he's running. He's got some speed. So I like him to catch more than 50 passes. But I don't know if there's another 50-catch receiver on this season's depth chart.
This one's a tough. I've gone back and forth as I was preparing for this podcast on this one. Because I think Hyatt could be in that like 45 to 55 reception mark, but I'll go with you and say fact that Jalin Hyatt will hit 50 receptions, and I agree with you. I think he would be the only guy maybe on this roster that would do it this year. I do think you could see a couple more guys maybe hit the 40 catch mark. I think they're going to find creative ways to use Velus Jones, a guy that we started to see get a little bit involved in the offense toward the end of last year, but I think. You know, I think Josh Heupel will find more creative ways to use Velus Jones, a guy with pretty good speed. You could use him in the slot, and I think that RPO-based system really works well for slot receivers. I don't think Velus Jones will get to 50, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Velus Jones maybe to get to 40 receptions this year. But I do think Hyatt will just get that 50 mark, just barely maybe. We talked about the opening slate for Tennessee this season. Start against Bowling Green, then week two, a really important game at home against Pittsburgh, might sort of give you an idea of what Tennessee might be capable of this season. And then a game that Tennessee should win in week three against Tennessee Tech ahead of its rivalry game against Florida. So with those three games to start out with, Bowling Green, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee Tech, fact or fiction, Tennessee will go into the Florida game with a 3-0 record.
Oh, that's your toughest question yet. Again, it all hinges on the Pitt game. I mean, we know Bowling Green's one of the worst teams in the country. Tennessee Tech is an FCS program and not a very good one. So it's all about Pitt. Pitt lost a lot of defense, I think, some real defensive stars from last season. Has its quarterback back, one of the best young receivers in the country. That's just a toss-up kind of game. I guess I kind of like Tennessee in that game right now, but ask me 30 minutes from now and I'll say, no, I like Pitt. So I'll go fact that we'll go into the Florida game 3-0.
Yeah, I could be persuaded either way on this one. I think maybe just to be different, I'll say fiction. I think that Tennessee-Pitt game to me is really the most interesting game for Tennessee all season, potentially. I think you know, you look at the conference games, there's some important ones. I believe against South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri. But I think that Pitt game is going to tell you most of what you need to know about what Tennessee will achieve this season. If Tennessee wins that, I think they're going to become bowl eligible. If they lose, I think you can start to make an early move to close the book, really, on this season. A loss to Pittsburgh in week two is going to tell me that Tennessee is going to have a rough road ahead this season. So I'm going to say fiction. I say they lose to Pittsburgh and start the year 2-1 going into that Florida game. John, before I get to the next one, I want to congratulate you on having an endorsement for your column. You secured Claire Rain, a freshman from the Tennessee Lady Vols soccer team, to endorse your column. She said that for $20, you know, in this name, image, and likeness era, athletes can earn money through endorsements, sponsorships, lending their name and image to products, and she has endorsed your column and said that you are her favorite columnist. That's a pretty big honor for you, I got to think, right?
Yeah, it is. And I'm used to getting honored. No, just kidding. She also said she had no idea who you were.
I noticed that.
I might have put those words in her mouth. Yeah, that's kind of debatable. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm really happy to have Claire aboard. I think she'll do a great job in endorsing the column. She's very active on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media platforms. She's really a very ambitious young lady, and I think she'll do well. She's very good in front of a camera. She wants to be a television personality, and I think that's a very realistic goal for her. She'll probably be, she's 19 now, seems about 25, and I bet she's on the SEC network before she's 25. I think what's unfortunate for other UT athletes, at first when I mentioned this in a column, I offered it to football players. No football players took me up on that.
And I think
a little surprising and I guess a little hurtful to my ego, Blake, but I got past that. I got Claire's email the next day. But I think there's going to be a lot of regret when they see Claire Rains skyrocket to stardom, and they're going to think, what might have been? And that's just an awful feeling when you had an opportunity, was right there, grab it. The $20 might not seem a lot of money, like a lot of money, but it's a starter. It's like a gateway to bigger and better things. This was a gateway for Claire. And I think other athletes will be kicking themselves for not seizing this opportunity.
Even though Claire chose to endorse you as a columnist over me, the beauty of this podcast is you can endorse both John and I, and you can endorse this podcast. We hope you'll do that. If you don't subscribe to this podcast, please go ahead and click subscribe so you won't miss any episodes. And if you have not offered us a rating, we'd appreciate it if you can give us a rating. That helps us get in front of more listeners. And you can check us out also on SEC Football Unfiltered. That's John and I's new podcast. We're about a month into that podcast. Here on the Volunteer State, of course, we talk all things Tennessee football. Over on SEC Football Unfiltered, we're talking more through a broader lens about the SEC football as a whole. So if you like what you hear here on the Volunteer State, please check us out over on SEC Football Unfiltered. John, a couple more fact or fictions here as we wrap up our predictions getting ready for Tennessee's 2021 season. We've talked about Josh Heupel's reputation as an offensive mind. The flip side of that is the defenses involving Josh Heupel sometimes allow a lot of points. In his 2 years as an offensive coordinator at Missouri, of course, you could say Josh Heupel wasn't responsible for the defense, but nonetheless, during the 2 years that Josh Heupel was the offensive coordinator at Missouri, Missouri allowed more than 30 points per game on average throughout those two seasons. And last year at UCF, averaged 42 points per game. UCF allowed 33 points per game. So we know Tennessee endured a lot of losses on defense, particularly the loss of Henry Toa-Toa. It's standout. Top linebacker, I guess I should say, transferred to Alabama. So given the losses, given that we know Josh Heupel is more of an offensive coach than a defensive coach, fact or fiction, Tennessee will allow an average of at least 30 points per game this year.
The schedule will help because there are some really infirm teams on that schedule. So, yeah, I kind of think, no, I guess that's a fiction on that. I just don't think he'll allow quite 30. Alabama scores 48 and Bowling Green scores 10. That averages out to 29 per game. That's kind of what I think you'll have. Give up about 29 points a game.
Okay, so you're saying just barely fiction. I will say fact. I think this defense is going to get lit up enough by the likes of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, some others that it's going to more than offset those games against, say, Tennessee Tech. So I will say Tennessee will allow more than 30 points per game. We've talked about what Josh Heupel quarterbacks and wide receivers do. He also has a pretty good track record for running backs having big seasons. It's not just all about the passing game and Josh Heupel. He actually has a really balanced offense and usually has some pretty good offensive lines as well. So we've talked before on this podcast about how we both really like Tyon Evans, the junior college transfer running back. We know this coaching staff really likes Jabari Small, the second-year running back out of the Memphis area. Will, fact or fiction, Tennessee will have a running back reach 1,000 yards rushing this year?
Fiction on that one. I think the offensive line could be okay, but I just don't see that happening. I think you'll have guys splitting carries. I think Tyon Evans has that kind of potential. And the coaches obviously are, as you said, are very high on Jabari Small, so maybe he will be the guy. But I think they will play two or three running backs, and I don't think any of them will get 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I think maybe a couple running backs reach about that 800 rushing yard total. I don't think anybody will quite reach 1,000, so I'll be in agreement with you there. Last one, John. Recruiting rankings have been one of the more celebrated facets of Tennessee's program in the last decade plus, which sort of speaks to the lack of success Tennessee has had on the field. But right now, Tennessee is inching up just a little bit in the 2022 recruiting class rankings after a couple recent commitments that the Vols have grabbed. And right now, as we record this on a Monday afternoon, Tennessee ranks 30th in the 24/7 sports composite nationally for its 2022 recruiting class. So top 25 usually is an area you can pencil in Tennessee to finish in the recruiting rankings. Right now, as I said, they're sitting at 30th. Fact or fiction, Tennessee will sign a top 25 class in its 2022 recruiting class?
I would say fact. I mean, you go back and you look at all the problems Tennessee has had, all the coaching transitions, all the unsuccessful coaches. It never seemed to matter. You almost always signed a top 25 class. I know this season, this recruiting cycle has been different because of the NCAA investigation hanging over the program, and that's a very big and a very dark cloud. However, if it's already up to 30 with all those things going against it, the NCAA, a coaching transition, I think it'll end up in the top 25.
I agree, John, and it just got a commitment from Addison Nichols, four-star offensive lineman out of the state of Georgia, and he's the highest-ranked commitment now in this class. Picked up a commitment from Addison Nichols on Monday afternoon, and I agree with you. I think momentum is for this recruiting class is starting to move in a good direction, and that's a good sign if. Given, as you said, that the investigation hanging over the head, the fact that you had a coaching staff not get hired until late January, so you're a little bit behind schedule there, particularly because you went outside the SEC for your hire, so you had to, Josh Heupel had to rebuild his recruiting board. It's not like you hired from inside the SEC and, you know, you could just say, well, I was recruiting these guys at Alabama or Auburn or Florida, and I'll keep recruiting the same guys at Tennessee. The type of guys he was recruiting at UCF maybe aren't the type of guys he wants to recruit to Tennessee, so he probably had to rebuild his recruiting board a little bit, not to mention bolster his relationships, I think, you know, throughout Tennessee and the region. So the fact that Tennessee has climbed to 30th in the rankings right now and has just gained a commitment from its top-ranked prospect in this class, I do think that Tennessee will just barely creep into the top 25 when all is said and done for the signing class. I'll say they finish somewhere between 21 in 25, which really, I think all things considered, would have to be, you'd have to give some credit there to this staff if they can finish in the top 25 during this first signing class under Heupel, given the situation that's going on in the program and what he inherited. I think would you have to award some kudos there, John?
Yes, you would, as Philip Fulmer would say. I'll give him some kudos, too.
kudos, and kudos, all the above. That's all like a gold, silver, work. Bronze.
Yeah, and they may, who knows, they could end up with a top 20 class.
Well, that'll wrap up our predictions as, once again, we are about a month away from Tennessee's opener against Bowling Green on a Thursday night at Neyland Stadium. We might dive into a few more predictions here in the coming weeks because it's the preseason. That's what you do. It's a little bit fun to dive into what we might expect in this first season of a new coaching staff. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.